Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Max Scherzer Show. I'm your host, Max Scherzer. Alongside with me is Max Scherzer. We're at the Max Scherzer Studios here at Fox Sports Max Scherzer Radio. Max Scherzer, Max Scherzer, Max Scherzer.
Dude.
Max
dude.
Scherzer, Max Scherzer.
Hey.
Yes, Max Scherzer.
They barely got your damn Mike White open put together.
What are you going to do, Max Scherzer?
We can't be jumping and saying, hey, I need, for anybody that's associated with my teams, I need new opens and to rename people. By the way, it costs you every time that you try to rename me, too. I'm okay with the Ted DiBiase rule of everybody's got a price. We just need to get those checks to start flowing here, pal.
No, but we're all Max Scherzer. Everyone on the show is Max Scherzer. Alex Tyshirt, Max Scherzer.
Nobody deposited $40 million in my account.
Watch this with Tyshirt. Ready. Hey, Max Scherzer.
What's up, Jay?
Yeah, hey, good job so far tonight. I want to say really good.
I thank you so much for that.
All right. Thanks a lot, Max. Appreciate it. See, everybody's good with their new names now. Everybody's good. Everybody's got them. We're good. We're all Max. He does nothing for me. We are all Max.
No, I mean, I did debate at one point if we were to have twins, Maximus and Minimus, to do a sociological experiment, but that did not come to pass.
You would really saddle a kid being named Minimus?
It's like naming a boy named Sue, just an updated version, by going deeper into the past. I mean, that's all.
So, a big day in sports today. We have baseball signings, Max Scherzer to the Mets, Corey Seager to the Rangers. It has been some kind of day, and all that money is flowing. We got a Monday Night Football game that really not many people care about, but we're following it because it's what
we do. Come on, it's 9-9.
It's 9-9 early in the third quarter. Basically, everybody who did a football board, I got 9-9. I won money. Usually, I get 9-9. I'm never going to win. I win. Seattle and Washington tied at 9 apiece early in the third quarter. We will, of course, keep you updated on that because it's who we are. It's what we do. But
hey, DK Metcalf owners, zero targets. How you feeling?
I can't say I'm happy about that because I am a proud DK Metcalf owner. But in the couple leagues I have him in, it's not going to make a difference tonight. So I'm okay with it.
Okay, going to keep me alive in a guillotine league. So.
I'm okay. Well, that's good. Hey,
the quieter he is, the better.
You're getting close to the finals of the guillotine league.
We're getting closer.
One more week, right?
Yeah, but because I spent all that money early, I'm in trouble.
You never know, buddy. You never know. But, yes, we'll continue on this because there is very big. The fantasy implications of this game are going to be felt around
Let's face it. People are starting to put the lighter fluid onto their torches and brandishing and shining up their, making them all nice and shiny and new, their pitchforks, because the Seahawks, with the way they've looked tonight, win, lose, or draw, people are out for blood because it has been an ugly, ugly performance.
But if you thought Lincoln Riley to USC was a big deal, well, hold on to your hats, because now we may have something to beat it. Something that is now a couple of hours old. Brian Kelly will be the next head coach at Notre Dame, replacing Ed Orgeron, who LSU announced a month and a half ago.
Yeah, he's going to LSU from Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yes, people leaving Notre Dame for LSU. This was Brian Kelly, who just a week ago was asked about, hey, would you ever leave Notre Dame for another job? Said, quote, Mike Tomlin had the best line. Unless that fairy godmother comes by with that $250 million check, my wife would want to take a look at it first. I'd have to run it by her. So now we know that he's going for $250 million, which is going to blows the crap out of the $110 million for Lincoln Riley and the $95 million for Mel Tucker. So we know right now that Brian Kelly's getting $250 million. LSU saw that story and said, we got $250 million, right? Let's call for Brian Kelly. Let's go get Brian Kelly. So this is what's happening now. And now college football is in a tizzy because you have Oklahoma with Bob Stoops as the interim, Notre Dame, maybe Lou Holtz will be the interim head coach for the, you know, the, Lou Holtz could be coaching a bowl game, could be coaching a playoff game. I mean, think about this, Mike. With Brian Kelly leaving, there could be a way for Notre Dame to back into the playoff, right? Notre Dame might want Luke Fickell to be their head coach, which means he would have to leave Cincinnati. You could have guys that have never coached a football game as a head coach in their lives coaching playoff games in college football this year. You say you like chaos. I bring you that chaos, Mike Harmon. That's what you should be hoping for.
Well, because that's the dominoes. Because, you know, my argument is, you know, and we'll get the rankings tomorrow. I'm still raising my hand going, Notre Dame's getting in, right? I know we have championship week ahead of us, but still raising my hand going, they're getting in, right? Doesn't matter, you know, whatever happens. But yes, Luke Fickell is the name that now surfaces, and I think it's the number two trending topic behind this crap-ass game and an ad about, quote, you are the gift. Mobile company telling me that I'm special for the holidays. But Luke Fickell is the third item on the right navigation in my Twitterverse, anyway, telling me, all right, well, here it is, the inevitability, you know, as the dominoes start to fall. It is really something. And I know folks just for giggles want to say, what about Lane Kiffin? So, you know, all the chaos I wanted is here just ahead of the playoff. And because think about it, if you're that committee right now, do you vote against a team for spite?
No. I think you vote.
Start arguing you feel against
bad for
them.
No, you just feel bad for them. Oh, wow, you did great. Well, this will be your only year, so we'll let you in. This will be the only time. We'll let you in. It's okay. It's all right. This is what we want to do.
Yeah, you can't feel bad for him. I mean, you know, it's the guy gets an opportunity, woman gets an opportunity, whatever the field is, to go and do great things, you know, get their full times, their benefits, and in these cases, tens of millions of dollars. I can't begrudge it. You know, all of us are looking for that big opportunity, that shining light, the pot of gold. In this case, you know, with Notre Dame, they're going to give someone a giant pile because the price of poker, you know, has been established. You mentioned those crazy numbers between Kelly and we go to Lincoln Riley and of course, what Mel Tucker got that started it all. I mean, because the $95 million there raised everybody's eyebrows, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, he hasn't been there long. These other guys, you at least have, you know, long track records to say this is what they've done, right? With Lincoln Riley, you know, everybody here in Los Angeles, you know, is all giddy thinking, all right, the resurgence of USC football is afoot. And perhaps Lincoln Riley can go meet up with Sean McVay and fix his offense. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. But all of these dominoes, just one after another, I'm like, wow, this is one hell of a Monday. And everybody's spending like they just got paid in Major League Baseball.
Oh, it's awesome.
You got Texas spending like $900 million on two shortstops. I mean, it's great.
Everybody's Steve Cohen now. College football is Steve Cohen. Baseball is Steve Cohen. Look, it's pretty simple. Right. When you want to break it down, you see this move of Lincoln Riley to USC and Brian Kelly from Notre Dame to LSU. And who leaves Notre Dame for anywhere? Right. You leave Notre Dame when they say you're fired. All right. I got to go someplace else. But this is why the Mel Tucker deal changed everything. Right. It changed everything. I always go back to when the Clippers were bought for $2 billion by Steve Ballmer. That changed everything for the NFL, who realized, oh, my God, we got franchises that are worth $2 billion. We don't have anybody in L.A. OK. And right after that, after all the long dances we had with the NFL in L.A., oh, I'm going to put L.A. up against the city because I want a new stadium or I want something else. And everybody stays. It was shortly after that, hey, the Rams are going charging. It was a big fight to get there. Once you saw, boy, this is what the worth is, okay, now we're going to put teams in L.A. Once Mel Tucker signed for 10 years and $95 million, it blew us all away with that story. The Michigan State's keeping a guy for $95 million. He's the highest paid head coach in college football. He's the highest paid African-American head coach in sports history. It was an incredible day. And we saw how record-breaking it was. But now you're seeing another large impact of this in that schools have realized, okay, we are really in the NIL era now of college football. And it doesn't, obviously, NIL has more to do with the players, but this is where excess and resources have to be used if you're going to keep up with the Joneses. You can't sit back. Notre Dame can't sit back and say, you should want to be the head coach at Notre Dame. You know, we're going to hold our players to a stringent way to get in. We're going to hold them to academic highs. No, I'm not doing that. We don't care. I can't win here. Everybody's giving me more money. I'm going to go someplace else. You watch Lincoln Riley leave for USC for offers that he just couldn't say no to. $110 million contract. They're buying both of his houses in Norman, paying $500,000 over market value for them. They're giving him $6 million to buy a house in Los Angeles, which means you get a nice three-bedroom, two-bathroom on the outskirts of LA.
I was going to say, he's going to be in your neighborhood next to you and J.J. Abrams.
He can get a nice three or two. Don't worry, you'll love it. Wait till he goes, I love to see him going house shopping. What's this house like, $1.5 million? This house is $47 million.
Did anybody give him the Adele quote while he was there?
He's also getting use of USC's private jet for his family whenever he wants it. That's an offer you can't say no to. And USC decides, hey, Michigan State's using their resources. We're going to use our resources and go get the home run hire that nobody thought we can get. You can't have a better hire than Lincoln Riley. Guy's going to be able to walk into kids into kids' houses and go, here's a USC helmet. And they're going to go, I'm coming, coach. Where do I sign? I want to come play for you. It's going to be that great. And he's going to turn USC around that fast. But USC realized, okay, let's use all our resources. It's something that anybody ever really thought about before. Hey, let's just empty our piggy bank because football's going to make us money. The better the teams are, the more money it makes us. That's what we have to do. LSU said, okay, you know, we hired Ed Orgeron. When LSU hired Ed Orgeron, nobody really wanted him. He was America's interim head coach. But he goes to LSU, he wins a championship, okay. But now, oh, if we want somebody, we got to pay. We have the resources. Let's go get Brian Kelly. He said there's no money that will cause him to leave. Let's give him money that he can't say no to. And this is what's going to happen now because, again, we are in the NIL era of college football where the money and the resources are going to be used to buy everything. Schools didn't have to use everything they had before, but now they will because the competition is so fierce. Mel Tucker stays in Lansing, okay, for $95 million. Brian Kelly's leaving Notre Dame for LSU. Lincoln Riley is leaving where he could have stayed for the next 25 years, and everybody said, okay, great. He could have had any great quarterback come play for him in Norman for the next 2.5 decades. But no, I'm going to USC where the smoke is, and I'm going to rebuild that dynasty because I'm getting $110 million. They're buying my houses. They're buying me a house. I can use the jet. Once schools that will start using their resources open up, that's going to be it now. This is how you're going to fight for coaches. And now everybody is fair game. You think Jim Harbaugh is going to stay at I'm never leaving Michigan. The guy just beat Ohio State. If somebody said, hey, Jim, this is what we need you here at Notre Dame. I know you went to Michigan, but what if we gave you $500 million to come coach Notre Dame? Well, all right, I'm out there. Everybody is fair game now. This is the new era of college football. Mel Tucker kicked it off. We're just seeing the byproducts of it now with Riley and with what we saw with Brian Kelly earlier.
Well, and with USC, it's obviously a huge departure from the way they've been handling business, right? Because I've got to assume that in all of those things you listed, all of the dollars and cents and private planes and tickets to whatever he needs to, and you know, people showing up in his backyard to get private concerts and everything else, part of that is control and operational control over staff and everything. And that's been one of the big problems at USC, as we've come to find out under the last couple of coaches. You just didn't have control either, right? It says nothing about the head coach. They still didn't do their job, and we know that. Clay Helton bounced after two games this year. But the fact is that now you've gotten everybody on the same page to say, all right, we want to compete. We want to get back to the top of the mountain. And, you know, when we look at Pete Carroll on Monday Night Football, remember those glory days that now seem like a lifetime ago? Yeah, that we need to rebuild. You know, you mentioned Jim Harbaugh. Like, I actually, going back and forth with my brothers, like, is this, you know, the time that Pat Fitzgerald finally just says, you know what, I've done everything I can at Northwestern? Right, coming off a down year, they had a monster year in 2020. But maybe that door reopens where it seemed like he had, you know, tried to put a couple of nails in it. But if the price is right, You know, he's a Southside Chicago kid, and maybe that's the way that goes. Or I should say Northside Chicago kid, but rich for the White Sox most of the time, unless the Cubs bring him to throw out a first pitch. But here was one that two things I wanted to bring up, and we'll discuss this more, is that you have Lincoln Riley trying to claim that he was didn't really get any notice about interest until Saturday. And then did the Zoom call Sunday morning. I laugh at that. The other from Matt Fortuna, talking about Brian Kelly, he at Matt_Fortuna, spoke to one assistant from Notre Dame who saw reports on his phone tonight as he exited a recruit's home. Quote, the news broke when I walked out of the house, so I look like a blankety blank. So,
hey, is Coach going to be here? Of course Coach is going to be here. Hey,
he's
going to
be there
phone.
Forever, oh. No question.
Hey, you know what? Let's reschedule this. I'll get back to you. We still love you, but I'll get back to you. Okay, just don't. I'm going to call Urban Meyer right now. Yes, I will call him and see what's going on. Yes, all of them.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The signing of Max Scherzer. Instead of one great starter like DeGrom, we get two back to back.
Yay.
Here, I thought you'd do a heartfelt tale of, you know, wishing people a happy Hanukkah, celebrating with their families. And,
happy Hanukkah.
And instead, you made it all about Max Scherzer again.
Because it's Mets Hanukkah today. We had Mets Christmas the other day. We got Mets Hanukkah today. Oh,
is that the
fantastic
gift?
I can't wait. It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Is it going to be 8 days of presents? I mean, this is only day two.
Oh, yes, tomorrow we're going to get Baez, and the next day we're going to get Otani. Then we're going to get Gehrig, and then we're going to get Musial. Oh, we're going to get all of them. It's all coming. It's Mets Hanukkah. Hooray! Joining us now on the hotline for all the big National Football League news coming off of Week 12, CBS Sports NFL insider Jason LaConfora. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jason LaConfora. Jay, what's happening, man?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Well, you know, obviously the head coaching news in college football is the big deal. Watching Lincoln mm-hmm. Riley go to USC, watching Brian Kelly go to LSU. We're seeing these big moves going on in college football, and the last few, we haven't really seen the big push, say, okay, this is the NFL job that's out there for someone. This is where someone wants to do the stepping stone. Is it still the lure, the NFL? Is it still the lure for college coaches like it was? Because looking at it, it's really not.
No, I mean, these guys are getting the deals they're getting in college and the ability to run your own fiefdom. And, I mean, these athletic directors are basically working at the beck and call of the football coach, you know, so you don't have the same structure where you're answering to an owner and you might be answering to a GM. The quality of life is better. A lot of times you're living in a college town with, you know, media who are maybe a little more sort of rah-rah, or, you know, everybody just wants the team to do well. And it's different. Now, some of the stuff going on with name, image, licensing and the ability to move around in the portal, you know, and that sort of free agency is a little different than it was before. And so that can, you know, make things a little bit more difficult for the coach to have to navigate. But you look at the money that's being paid, you look at the stability. Again, the quality of life, there's a lot to be said for it. And there's a lot of NFL coordinators and position coaches and even some head coaches who keep a very close eye on what's going on with certain college situations, because there can be cool little places to raise your family where your dollar goes a lot further, and they're paying for your cost of living and they're paying for your transportation costs, and you're kind of the king.
All right, Jason, as we get towards the end here, mercifully, of Week 12 of the National Football League
season. You mean of this particular game?
I'm talking in general, because Sunday night football was no great shakes either. 16-10, the Ravens move on. I'm sure you had the bat phone in your studio lighting up all day there in Baltimore. But for the Cleveland Browns, you don't often lose games that you have four interceptions, yet offensively inept enough to do so. Baker Mayfield in the, all the long term about his contract pushed aside. Should he just sit down at this point?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, that's not what guys
do.
Not
him, the coach,
like,
obviously.
Like, you mean take one for the team and, hey, I think Keenum's better. And
you know exactly what I was asking,
my earning
Jason.
Potential and any
Jason,
ability to get
Jason.
A second contract, and my agent's going to fly into
town. Jason, you know exactly what
me,
I was
yeah.
asking you.
I'm taking a knee, and I'm handing the ball to
that was,
Keenum for the
That was not what I was asking,
town.
Jason, and you know that.
Huh?
That was
sorry,
not
I
what I asked, and you know that.
I was a little ripped there. I was enjoying my own the sound of my own voice.
That's right, but it was clearly not the question that I was asking. The question was, should he be sat down?
I feel like this is the third time that I've been grilled, and this is not even on this particular topic. And I have no dog in the fight. At this point, I don't know. He's the last 3 weeks, he's got a QB rating of 50-something. I mean, it's been awful. And that fumble where they had the screen set up and he was under a little bit of duress and then the ball squirts out of his hand. And I mean, it's not good. It's not good. A lot of stuff around him isn't great either, but that's a tough one because you're at a point here now where, my buddy, this regime is, you know, in year two. And they set the bar pretty high in year one. But they didn't draft this kid first overall, but the owner kind of did, you know? Mm-hmm. And is Case Keenum going to make it that much better? And I don't know. I mean, it's – here's my overarching thought. The Cleveland Browns are not winning a Super Bowl this year. They're not getting to an AFC championship game this year. They're not – there. You know, that's not who they are. They've got a -3 touchdown differential. The scoring differential isn't great. You look at a lot of the metrics around that team and you say, you know, they're middling. So with that being the case and this regime being where they are and you having to make big-time decisions on Baker Mayfield and him now getting the rest for 2 weeks, I think you have to continue to look at Baker Mayfield. If the home game against Baltimore goes horribly, then okay. Now maybe you're trying to salvage something and looking at Case Keenum. But with all he's been through and with where they are, I think you continue to look at the kid who they took first overall.
Jason Lock and for our guest, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, from Baker Mayfield, a couple other quarterbacks who had, well, less than dubious games on Sunday. Cam Newton gets benched. Ben Roethlisberger has another week of, boy, can the Steelers, what's going on here? Any way these guys don't make it to the end of the year as starters? We see Cam Newton sit on the bench. We see Roethlisberger sit on the bench at some point?
I think it's certainly possible. I mean, with Ben, there's just so much emotion. You know, there's so much history there. There's this bridge that he became, right? From, like, the end of Knoll to what Cowher became and then into Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's not benching this. You know, like, and I don't think Ben's going to them and saying, hey, take me out and play more Mason Rudolph. I think Ben wants to savor every morsel that's left on this bone because this is the last bone. This is the last time he's ever going to get a chance to do this. And, hey, maybe I go out throwing a 50-yard bomb to, you know, Claypool or whatever. But I don't think he's going to pull the chute. And I don't think anybody's going to go to him and say, God, we got to see a lot of Mason Rudolph in December and January to see what we got here. And it just kind of is what it is. It's the end of an era. Nothing lasts forever. Tom Brady went out on a pick six, right? I mean, and that may be how this ends, but I just don't think that there's any sort of shakeup because the heir apparent isn't on the roster. The maybe sort of heir apparent isn't even on the roster. That's not to say that Mason Rudolph won't be their quarterback next year because somebody's got to do it and whoever they draft might not be ready and whatever. But I don't think they do it. With Cam, I mean, yeah, look, if Darnold comes back, I mean, I guess. But that's another one where, like, that's an owner deal. Like, he's there because Tepper wanted him there. Because his football guys went out and got Sam Darnold and you know, P.J. Walker, and that was a disaster. Although I think Walker actually kind of deserves a little bit of a look. But, like, are either of those guys the answer? No. And you're trying to keep people involved, and you're trying to sell tickets, and you're trying to pique interest, and they certainly did that, you know. And Cam comes in, and he has the two splash plays against Arizona right away, and they win that game. But he's only been there a minute. He doesn't really know the offense yet. He clearly has issues throwing the ball. A 5.8 quarterback rating is brutal. And I don't think it's going to get better overnight. And I don't think they're going anywhere. But I also don't think people are clamoring for more Walker or Darnold. But the reality is they've got to figure out their quarterback of the future. He's not on their roster.
There you go. First Sam Darnold reference in
there
several
we
weeks. There you go.
Hey.
All right, Rams 7-4, and here in Los Angeles, it seems like they're shying away from Super Bowl anymore. How does Sean McVay turn it around, Jason?
I don't know. I'm not sure that Sean McVay can turn it around. Maybe Aaron Donald can turn it around. You know, maybe Jalen Ramsey can turn it around. Maybe Matt Stafford can turn it around. I don't think there's any switch they can flick schematically that's going to, you know, make them more viable on either side of the ball. They don't run the ball that great. The offensive line is a little long in the tooth, some key spots. The Robert Woods injury was significant. People kind of know where the ball's going with Cooper Kupp. I mean, the quarterback throws a pick six three straight weeks. And Aaron Donald is not the runaway defensive MVP this year. He's just not. He's not the best defensive player in the NFL week in, week out. He hasn't been that. And that's what they need him to be, because the cast around him isn't that great. And losing Brockers seems to have been a big deal. And you can avoid Jalen Ramsey and find other places in that defense to find joy throwing the ball against. And, you know, the time of possession isn't great because, you know, they lose a running back early in the year, and that's kind of been by committee and nothing special. That looks like a team that may have peaked in October.
Jay, speaking of teams that are peaking now, let's finish here. We watched the Patriots win their sixth straight. They're at top of the AFC East now, and the winning the battle against the Rams, the Packers now have the best record in the NFC at 9-3. Are these the two best teams in their respective conferences right now?
They very well may be. I mean, if you want to make a case for Arizona, if you want to make a case for Baltimore, Buffalo, or Cincinnati, and I guess if you still want to make a case for Dallas, given that it looks like the cavalry is, you know, about to show up on the horizon for their defense, when you start talking about, you know, Lawrence and Gregory, then, you know, we can have those conversations. But if you made me pick a Super Bowl right now, and I know that Mac Jones is still a rookie, but I would maybe say Green Bay, New England. You know, if you made me do power rankings right now, and I hate power rankings, and I won't do power rankings, even though my colleague Pete Prisco claims to have invented power rankings, I would probably have those two up at the top.
You can follow him on Twitter at JasonLockin4. Hey, and tomorrow his first power rankings of the year drops, so make sure they're there. You have baseball card power rankings, don't you? They're coming up
soon.
You
know, when you said that, I don't, but I was like, I wonder who my top five prospects out of 2019 Bowman draft
now you're
would
going.
Be. Yeah.
On Twitter at JasonLockin4, at JasonLockin4. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great week.
See you, Jason.
Great stuff there with Jason Lockenfora. You know, I think we was having fun with the whole Baker Mayfield. Because just think about Baker Mayfield going, guys, I stink. I need to sit. Yes, take a seat. Take a seat. Yes, give us your playbook. Give us it. We're ready to go to somebody else. Well, I'm just saying, maybe we have the confidence. No.
Phrased it badly.
You said you wanted to sit. You were going to sit. I'm just picturing that happening in Cleveland would be pretty funny.
Well, I mean, at some point, you got to stop the bleeding. I guess that is the question here. And it's gotten ugly. uglier and uglier with each passing start. Look, I don't know if Sunday night football or Monday is worse this week. You might actually put up a poll question. And all those folks that got chesty after a good Saturday of college football, for 1 week, they might have been right that it was a better and more entertaining product for Ooh, one boy. Week.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
It's true. Right now, fourth quarter, it is the Washington football team on top of Seattle, 17-9, as the Russell Wilson era in Seattle is watching the sand run through the hourglass with every passing second. So we'll have more on this game and more on Brian Kelly coming up in about 10 minutes, because we get some new stuff regarding Kelly leaving for LSU and what he has said to his Notre Dame players we're going to have for you in a few minutes, which is just, oh my goodness. But look, today, look, the big headlines early today, and I knew the Mets got Max Scherzer because I knew if when I wake up and turn my phone on, if my phone goes bzz, 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 I know we got Max Scherzer, because going to bed last night, it looked like it was going to happen. I woke up and I turned my phone on. Before I opened my eyes, I held the phone. I'm like, come on, buzz, buzz, buzz. Went zzz, 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 zzz. I'm like, yes, we got Max Scherzer. Then for a split second, I thought, or he said he was going and then changed his mind after the press release went out. Ooh, yeah. And now he's going someplace else. But no, no, Max Scherzer is a Met. And oh, my goodness, this is why I always say two things. Number one, I guess Steve Cohen's tweets are okay. I guess you don't have to worry about him pushing free agents away because of the way he tweets. But this is what happens when you can spend money. When if you have a bad owner, it doesn't matter what you do with your team, you're stuck. I say it all the time. If you have a really crappy owner that wants to adhere to spending and wants to micromanage and or doesn't want to get involved to the level they need to be to make sure the team is great, you're going to suffer and you're not going to win. The owner is the most important person in your franchise, because he will either open up the gates for you to compete or he's going to keep them closed. And for the Wilpons, who for years wouldn't spend money because they all got caught up in the Ponzi scheme with the Madoffs, we're not going to spend, we're not going to go over the luxury tax, salary, all these different things. No, 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 we're not going to do it. And it's not just the Mets. There's other teams. Many teams are run that way because their owners aren't worth enough money. But here's Steve Cohen, who is worth more than any other MLB owner and most of the NFL owners. That's how rich the guy is. Yeah, he can spend as much bleeping money as he wants to. I want to win. I got hedge fund cash. I mean, I don't have oil cash. I got hedge fund cash, man. I mean, this is where we just basically print the money. I mean, in a legal way, and me being facetious, not like actually printing money. That's illegal. But when you have an owner who will do this, a new window is open into competition and trying to win. Because look at what the Mets have done in the last 4 days. They've added three players. They spent $115 million on Friday. And then they went out and they spent $130 million today on one guy, on Max Scherzer. When you have an owner that says, I want to win, this is what I'm in it for, everything is open. You can accomplish anything. Because if there's a bad contract, doesn't matter. I can pay it up. He can pay $130 million is nothing to Steve Cohen. It's big for baseball. It's not, the guy's worth $18 billion, right? He's not just worth a couple of billion dollars where it's like, oh, $130 million, that's it. No, the guy's worth $18 billion. It doesn't matter. He carries that around. He has a guy carrying it around in a briefcase next to him like he's Virgil, okay? That's that. When you have
nicely
that
done.
you can accomplish anything. And that's why today was such a big deal. And you look at an owner, boy, Steve Cohen, I don't know, I don't like you. Tweet, keep tweeting. Say whatever the hell you want to. Because clearly, if you have the money, you want to come here and play, and we're okay paying the money, this is what we're going to do. And look at what the Mets have done. They've made themselves a World Series favorite over the course of the past 4 days by the guys they have signed. And they still have more money to spend. And they'll still keep spending. I told you they were going to do it, and they did it. This is what happens when you have a good owner who will spend money. It's the biggest key.
Yeah, in the end, time will tell whether he's a good owner or a bad owner overall. Given the cesspool that evidently was lurking around those buildings the last few years, right? A lot of scandal and problems with guys that have been in office that, you know, you've purged it and now you have a new world order there. But the larger thing, and we've talked about it all the time, you don't have to like everything about Jerry Jones, and you can mock his GM skills. You can go and look at Mark Cuban, and certainly there are things in his history that are problematic. But at the end of the day, they didn't buy those teams only as a trophy. That's part of it, you know, and being able to play, you know, at the big guy's table with big toys and chips out there going, look what I own, you know, like comparing size of yachts and whatever else. But, you know, what's your team do and what do they want? Well, they want to win. Right. So Cuban was famous for putting in all sorts of the ergonomic chairs that cost him an arm and a leg for 7'5" guys and whatever else just to make sure they were comfortable. Right. So it seems silly. It seems innocuous, but it meant something to them. Likewise, Jerry Jones, you spend money. You're always looking at luxury tax. It's one thing with the Rams. OK, this season may go bust, but they went for it. They manipulated the cap, and they went out and they tried to sign and trade for big names to make it all work. And right now, for you and your new look, New York Mets, yeah, you've got to be excited that the guy's not only on social media engaging and allowing people to vent and seemingly doing so with good humor about it, but also, as soon as he had the opportunity, he brought out the big novelty checks like you'd get, you know, at as a prize on a game show, and he's handing them out as fast as he can.
This is what it happened. This is what it feels like to have an owner that says, yes, I'm going to go spend whatever I can. It's a new day. It's a new day, Mike Harmon.
Can you find me one of those owners for one of the Chicago teams I follow?
Coming up next, hey, the latest news out of college football. It's big. This is Fox.